My message this evening, I'm starting off with the Brit Chadashah, the New Covenant Scriptures, the Gospels. The Pharisees and Sadducees came to Yeshua and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. Yeshua replied, "When evening comes, you say, 'It will be fair weather, for the sky is red.' And in the morning, 'Today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast.' You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times." Unlike the Pharisees and Sadducees, I think I can interpret the signs of the times. And here's my interpretation of the signs of our times. We are living in a time like one of those mornings when the sky is red and overcast. It's about to be stormy. We're heading into an extremely bad storm, a perfect storm, a super storm made up of other storms all coming together at the same time. One of the storms is the storm of secular humanism, the idea that man, not God, is what is important. Man is now the center of things in the world's thinking, not God. Secular humanism has become the dominant worldview in Western civilization. Western civilization is not only post-Christian, in many ways it is now actively anti-Christian. That's tragic because ideas are important, and bad ideas, especially bad ideas about God and religion, produce tragic consequences, many of which we are experiencing already. The storm of secular humanism. Another storm is the increase of immorality. I cannot believe how immoral our society has become since the time I was young. It's like a different nation. So much sexual promiscuity, perversion, homosexuality, lesbianism, transgenderism, pornography, pedophilia. This kind of immorality is terribly destructive to individuals, to families, to societies, and we are now reaping the bitter fruit of decades of immorality that we've been sowing. The storm of the increase of immorality. Another storm is the breakdown of the family. So much living together without marriage, having children outside of marriage, so much divorce. The breakdown of the family is terribly destructive to individuals, families, and society. Another storm, one which I talk about fairly frequently, is the deterioration of the U.S. economy. The economy is not strong, like some are saying. If the economy was strong, there wouldn't be record levels of corporate debt, government debt, personal debt. If the economy was strong, the federal government wouldn't be going farther and farther into debt. It would be paying down the debt. States and cities wouldn't be going farther and farther into debt. They would be paying down their debts. Pensions would be fully funded. They're not. The Federal Reserve would be raising interest rates, not lowering them to stimulate the economy like they're doing. If the economy was strong, we wouldn't be experiencing something the world has never experienced before: negative interest rates. Have you heard of that phenomena? Negative interest rates? That instead of the bank paying you to loan, to borrow their money, or to, you give them their money, they're taking your money a little percentage. Negative interest rates. That's never happened before in world history. It's happening in many places throughout the world. That should tell us something. If the economy was strong, the roads would be good. They're not. We'd be doing a better job maintaining and improving the infrastructure. If the economy was strong, the average worker wouldn't be making virtually the same he made 30 years ago. There wouldn't be growing levels of personal debt, credit card debt, student loan debt, auto loan debt. The majority of people would not be living paycheck to paycheck. If the economy was strong, the Federal Reserve would not be printing trillions of dollars out of nowhere, out of nothing, and using that phony money to pump up stocks, bonds, and real estate, which is great for Wall Street, but bad for Main Street. I believe we're heading into a very bad financial storm. Another storm? The deteriorating global economy. The global economy is now slowing. No question about it. Many nations are going into this global slowdown with very high levels of debt. Not good. Another storm, rising geopolitical tensions. There are tensions between the U.S. and China. We're in a trade war with China. China's the second biggest economy after ours. There are tensions between the U.S. and Russia, the U.S. and North Korea, India and Pakistan, the U.S., Israel, and the Gulf states versus Iran. It is possible for a war in the Middle East to break out at any time. And that could have very serious consequences for the whole world. I know what you're thinking. Rabbi Lauren, there you go again. You're such a doom and gloomer. You're such a pessimist. Don't you know these kinds of storms have always existed? Don't worry. Everything will sort itself out. It always does. Everything's going to be fine. I know that's what you're thinking. That kind of thinking has a name. It's called normalcy bias. It's the belief that things will continue to function the way they normally function, normalcy bias. It's the belief that tomorrow will be like today, maybe a little better, maybe a little worse, but pretty much just like today. Normalcy bias, when things are bad, we assume they will continue to be bad. When things are good, we assume they will continue to be good. Life in a fallen world may work that way, for a time, or not. There may be unexpected changes and sudden reversals. The Word of God warns us about normalcy bias. Proverbs 27, verse 1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. We are not God. We do not know what will happen tomorrow. We are not in charge of tomorrow. Things can change dramatically and radically by tomorrow. Therefore, we should not boast about tomorrow because we may be wrong and we will be revealed as arrogant fools. Yaakov, James, the brother of the Lord Yeshua, and Jewish royalty, because he was a descendant of King David like his brother Yeshua, James, the leader of Messiah's community in Jerusalem, arguably the most important of Messiah's communities throughout the world at that time, Yaakov James, the brother of the Lord, wrote this to Messianic Jews living outside of the land of Israel. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. James was warning us about not engaging in normalcy bias. We are not to boast about what we will do later today or tomorrow. We are not in control of today or tomorrow, and we do not know what will happen today or tomorrow. We are frail creatures whose lives are so short. James continues, what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. In general, mists, and I would think mists particularly in Israel, last for a little while and then vanish. And that's what we are like. Our lives are over before we know it. Several years ago, my friend Jan, who was one of the very first of the Jews for Jesus and the best preacher in the Messianic Jewish community, Jan went into Manhattan one morning. He tripped on some stairs in Grand Central Station. He hit his head, and he was brain dead within a couple of hours. They took him off life support the next day, and Jan died. I'm sure that Jan did not wake up that last morning in Brooklyn thinking his life would be over in just a few hours. But it was. Our lives can change in a day, in a few hours, in a moment. Back to James. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this city or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. James reminded us that we are not in control of our lives. The Lord is. We are not in control of the future. The Lord is. What we want, our will, does not determine if we will live or what we will do. The Lord's will determines if we will live or what we will do. Therefore, when speaking about our desires for the future, our plans for the future, with wisdom and humility, we say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. The Word of God has more to say about normalcy bias. Messiah, Yeshua, told this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. And many of us would say, wow, that's good advice. I wish I was that rich man. This rich man assumed that his wealth would last for many years, and he was making plans to enjoy his prosperity and his easy life. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you." That night, that rich man would die. And because he wrongly believed he would enjoy a pleasant life for many years, he was not ready to meet his maker. The lesson? We don't know if we will live through the night, if the Lord might not demand our life tonight. Today might be our last day. Therefore, today, now, we need to make sure we are right with God and make sure our priorities are right. We are living to serve God, not ourselves. Living to serve God, not the world. Normalcy bias not only affects individuals, it affects entire nations. The book of Daniel informs us about the end of the greatest empire the world had known until that time. Even though the city of Babylon was surrounded by the armies of the Medes and Persians, who were intent on capturing Babylon, the leaders of the Babylonian Empire who were within the city believed they were safe behind the great walls of Babylon. And they believed that the good times they had enjoyed for decades would continue. 1,000 of the leaders, Daniel tells us, had a party one night, eating and drinking and mocking the God of Israel. The Lord was offended. He judged them and found them lacking and decided that their time was over. That night, the city of Babylon was captured by the Medes and the Persians. The king of Babylon was killed, and the leaders of the empire, who were rich and powerful and enjoying life one day, were dead or impoverished the next. If an empire like Babylon can collapse in one day, can't a complex, highly indebted, highly leveraged financial system collapse in a short period of time? Our financial system came very close to collapsing in 2008. Some say it was a few days away from collapsing. Some say a few hours away from collapsing. It's been 11 years since then, which is longer than the average business cycle, and things are slowing down again. We're entering another downturn, but in a much weaker condition than we entered the 2008 crisis, because we have much more debt than we had in 2008. And because interest rates are already low, they can't be lowered enough to stimulate the economy to cause it to recover again. If you have some financial assets, my recommendation, diversify some into gold and silver sooner rather than later. It wasn't just the Babylonian leaders who were guilty of normalcy bias. The leaders of the chosen people who lived in the time of Isaiah were too. Listen to Isaiah's criticism of them. "Israel's watchmen are dogs with mighty appetites. They never have enough. They are shepherds who lack understanding. They all turn to their own way. They seek their own gain. Come," each one cries, "let me get wine. Let us drink our fill of beer. And tomorrow will be like today, or even far better." The leaders of the chosen people, who should have known God and his ways the best and served him the best, lacked understanding. They were neglecting God and their responsibilities. They were greedy and focused on having a good time. They were drinking lots of wine and beer and enjoying themselves. They were positive. They were optimistic. They thought that tomorrow would be like today or even far better. But it wouldn't be better for them. God was very unhappy with them, and judgment was coming. That was 2,700 years ago. What about the future? Maybe even our future. Messiah prophesied that immediately before he returns, it will be like the days of Noah. Instead of getting right with God and serving the Lord and being ready for judgment, like Noah and his family were, everyone else was eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage until the very day Noah entered the ark. Then suddenly the flood came and destroyed them all. Messiah also prophesied that immediately before he returns, it will be like the days of Lot. The people of Sodom were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. Life was good in Sodom. The economy was good in Sodom. There was a wide range of sexual expression in Sodom. So many of today's people would have loved life in Sodom. But the day Lot left Sodom, the Lord caused fire and sulfur to rain down on them and destroy them all. The people of Sodom, enjoying their good times, never got right with God, were never prepared to meet their Maker. We do not want to make their mistake. None of us know what might happen tomorrow, or even later this evening, later tonight. We don't want to foolishly and proudly think or act or speak as if we do. We want to turn from our sins now. We want to get right with God now. We want to serve the Lord faithfully now. So if we die, or if Messiah returns, we can hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Enter into the joy of your Lord." God designed Yom Teruah, this holiday, the day we blow the shofar, to remind us of these things. May the blowing of the shofar pierce our hearts and remove any normalcy bias that we have. Help us turn from our sins and our worldliness and our wrong priorities and get right with God and serve the Lord the way we should, so we are ready to meet him should we die or should we meet Messiah when he returns.